Jesus answered them, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep." In other words, you don't hear my voice, you don't recognize what I'm saying, because you're not one of my sheep. It's just that simple.
Just like sheep that know and follow their shepherd's voice, Pastor Brett Metters says to follow the good shepherd, we first need to know him.
Notice he knows his sheep. You know, a lot of people say, "I know Jesus Christ," but hopefully if you're a follower of Jesus, that's what you're going to do. Follow him.
In John chapter 10, Jesus declares himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, clearly reflecting God's sacrificial love. Pastor Brett Metter notes that in this passage we find a worthy challenge to trust his voice and follow his leading as his sheep. Coming up on today's Word, an invitation to get to know the shepherd and rest in his care.
John chapter 10 verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake to them." So they didn't yet understand what he was saying. And this is where he kind of explains it. Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheepfold. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Okay, so we looked at this. Jesus is the door. I'm not going to go over all that again, but what a beautiful thing. The protection of Christ for his sheep. That's part of the deal. But we also saw the exclusivity. You have to go through that door if you're one of his sheep. If you're not one of his sheep, you don't go through that door. So that's why you got to choose the correct door. And by the way, this is where Jesus' exclusivity, "I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is always very exclusive about who really holds the truth. Well, John chapter 10, verse 10 goes on. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." What does a sheep need to have abundant life? Well, that goes back to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A sheep will want for nothing. He'll lead me beside still waters, lead me to green pastures, restores my soul. Like, that's what abundant life is for the sheep of Jesus, the sheepfold. So we've got, "I am the door, but I am also the good shepherd," verses 11 and 14. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Don't want to forget that part. So the door, the good shepherd, two I am statements in one chapter, pretty cool. Well, let's go back to John 10 there, verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Could you just note that this is the third time Jesus says his sheep know him? Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and have known of mine," verse 14. And then verse 15, "As the Father knows me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is a common theme that he's going to say over and over again, that he knows his sheep, that he laid down his life for the sheep. To know Jesus, the good shepherd, and his voice, to know his voice, to know the shepherd is important. Everything else becomes very secondary. The important issue is to know Jesus Christ and to hear his voice. Are you one that can say, just between you and the Lord right now, "Yes, I know the shepherd, I know his voice, and he knows me"? That's kind of an important thing to understand. Does Christ know you? We'll talk about that in a second. But notice how many times we're going to see this before this chapter's over. Verse 16, now we get to kind of a heavy prophetic, and we could spend a whole week on this verse. I'm not kidding. Check it out. Verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So Jesus is talking about, you know, the sheep and the shepherd and the sheepfold and all this. Up to this point, the Jews would have understood what he was talking about. They would have understood the sheepfold as being Judaism. I believe that's what they would have thought. And really, that's not wrong. But Judaism, that's the sheepfold, particularly Old Testament before Jesus dies on the cross, is buried and resurrected from the grave. But Jesus says here very interestingly, he says, but there's some other sheep. Now he's not talking about you guys, the Jews in Jerusalem. He says, there's some other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. As opposed to the sheep of Jerusalem, are they hearing the shepherd's voice? No, that's what Jesus, he's saying, I got another fold, there's another sheep that's coming. At least they're gonna hear my voice. You guys don't, but I've got another flock that is, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Instead of two folds, like you guys are one and this other one I'm talking about, there's gonna come a time where it's gonna be one fold, one shepherd, the end. Does anybody wanna take a guess? What's that other sheep he's talking about? Gentiles, halfway right. No, you're right, technically. But the reason I wanna kind of put a word of caution there, because it's Gentiles and Jews. Jews or Gentiles who accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Now, this is a deep conversation. All the Jewishness, the foundations, the law of Moses, the feasts, the festivals, they were all to point to Jesus Christ. When you become a Christian, if you're a Gentile or a Jew, all of that is put into one new man. Let me give you some scriptures to jot down. I'm tempted to go through some of these, but I'm afraid we probably won't have time. But some of Paul's most harsh words were to people trying to drag Gentiles back into the Jewish customs. Keep that in mind. I've noticed that a lot of us that love studying the Old Testament, love the prophecy of the Bible, there's this little bit of a magnetism that I've noticed. Prophecy buffs and people who love the Old Testament, which I do and we should, but there's also a tendency to try to become a little more Jewish and start doing Jewish stuff. And it's a little tricky because should you do a Seder dinner, a Passover dinner at your house during Passover? You can if you want to. It's actually a wonderful experience and it's beautiful, the meaning, and you can see Jesus, it's awesome. But as soon as you start kind of thinking that that's something you really need to do, it's already way off course. Like it becomes legalistic. And Galatians chapter 3, jot this one down in your notes. If I had time, I'd go over this, but Galatians chapter 3, he starts out, oh, you foolish Galatians. Why is he calling the Galatian people fools? Because it says, who hath bewitched you? In Jerusalem, you know, they started getting to more grotesque religious practices, doing weird things to sort of try to be religious. Instead of being saved by grace, they were being bewitched back into religiosity that was not saving them at all. Religiosity today, it happens today. You know, he says, you know, who hath bewitched you? You heard by faith and you were saved. How are you gonna add to that? And this is where, you know, Paul would say to the Galatians, Abraham believed and accounted him for righteousness. And that's basically how you're gonna be saved too. Same way, Abraham, by faith, you're saved, he says. You know, all that to say, Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. I'm giving you some highlights if you want to do some more work on this, but this is where Paul gets really hot. He's like angry. And he's talking to these guys that are sitting around going, yeah, these Gentiles need to be circumcised. They didn't have like bench-made knives laying around. They were sharpening stones. You know what I'm saying? Guys, sharpening stones saying, hey, you need to be circumcised. And you know what Paul said? I'm just gonna give you the quick version because it's heavy. And the King James tries to clean it up a little bit. When Paul says there in Galatians 5, 1 through 14, he says, I would that you circumcisers, I would that you all be castrated. Brad, it doesn't say that in my Bible. Yeah, Paul, maybe your King James says, I would that you be cut off. Same thing. That's what he meant. The idea here is that, you know, in Galatians, that these guys were being Judaizers, trying to make Jews out of the Christians when they are saved. Now you say, Brett, well, you said it. Christianity continues Judaism. Yes, but here's how it works. And this is the key. Jot this one down. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. In fact, I'm going to have you turn to this one. You got to see this. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 2? And I just want to show you this, because this is where Paul sums up the confusion for these people that Jesus brought out in John chapter 10, verse 16. It's the same thing. The same thing that Jesus brought up in our verse that we just landed on in verse 16, that there'd be one new sheepfold, one shepherd, one fold. What's he talking about? Paul spells it out. Let's go through it here. Of course, Ephesians 2, verse 8 is, you can't start with verse 11. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them." Now, we've gone over that in previous studies. There's a lot there. But saved by grace through faith. That's just period. Now, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision." Remember, circumcision equals Jew. Uncircumcision equals Gentile. He says, when you guys were outsiders, Gentiles, it says, who are called uncircumcision, that by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh, made by hands. Verse 12, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promises, having no hope, and without God in the world." You know, before this all happened, you Gentiles were toast. "But now," verse 13, "in Christ Jesus, you, who sometimes were afar off, were made near or made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now, pause for a second here. You gotta understand, he's talking about a literal wall. Did you know there was a wall between the Jews and the Gentiles, literally in Jerusalem? Herod the Great, in the remodel of the temple in Jerusalem, one of the things that you can see there, there's even some placards that they've still found from this very wall. The wall's not there anymore, but there was a wall dividing the court of the Gentiles from where they could get up to worship, but only the Jews could go past that wall. And the Romans and the Jews agreed to put placards on the wall. And it basically said this: if you're a Gentile and you go past this wall, you have only yourself to blame for your ensuing death. Like, you would be killed if you crossed the wall to worship God in the temple of the Jews during that time period, court of the Gentiles. Paul, he's referring to that wall when he says, "He is our peace, who hath made both one," Jew and Gentile, "both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, to make in himself of two, one new man, so making peace." So, okay, he's saying there were Jews and there were Gentiles in the world. Very divided, wall of separation between them. But the Lord says, "I'm making out of the two, one." Is it joining them all together to be one, or is there kind of a third entity? Well, let's check it out. He says there's making one new man, so making peace, verse 16, "and that he might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." See, here's the thing. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you still need to be saved by Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. Jesus is still the answer, Jew or Gentile. When Jesus died on the cross, he's the answer. So the Jew that accepts Jesus, they're part of this one new man. That's what it says here. Now go on, it says verse 17, "and came and preached peace to you which were far off," Gentiles, "and to them that were near," the Jews. For verse 18, "for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Verse 20, there's a foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, "in whom all the building fitly framed together grows to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." A lot of wordiness there, but I just want you to see, this is huge and important. You have the Jews and the Gentiles. And they're at enmity one against the other. That's what we're seeing even with Jesus coming on the scene talking about there's a whole nother flock that you guys don't even know about, but I'm gonna make of them one flock, one shepherd. And who is that? It's this one new man that's talked about here in Ephesians 2, where the Gentiles are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens, those who are brought together through Jesus Christ. Not by the keeping of the law, but by keeping of Jesus, who's through his blood saved them. So if you would, in the Bible, you need to understand, the New Testament teaches there's Jews and Gentiles, but he created, when he died and rose from the grave, one new man. Anyone who would be a follower of Jesus becomes part of that new man. We might call that the church of Jesus Christ. And it's made up of Jews and Gentiles, not a lot of Jews, because largely right now, the Jews are blinded. There's not a lot of Jews who have accepted Christ as their savior. There are some. I have friends that are Jews that they sometimes call themselves Messianic Jews. Now be careful. If you're a Messianic Jew, be careful. Don't inch your way back and be bewitched like the Galatians. Who hath bewitched you to get back into the legalism, back into the rules of the Old Testament? Who hath bewitched you? When you're part of a new thing that God has done with Jesus and the cross, you don't need to go back to those things. Very important to see that. Well, this is the new flock that Jesus is talking about here back in John chapter 10. Hope that makes sense. Pretty important what we're reading there. I could go on. Colossians chapter 2, you know, verses 13 and 18 talks about, so because of that, don't let anybody judge you concerning the new moon or the Sabbath day or the feasts and festivals. If somebody's saying, you AC Creekers, you need to worship God on the Sabbath and not on Sunday, can I just say, you're trying to be like a Judaizer. You're doing that thing that we just talked about. But it, you know, let no man judge you concerning this. Why? Because we're part of a new man. Very important to understand that. Well, back to John chapter 10. We've got Jew, Gentile, and Christian, and that's the Christian church is gonna be that new sheepfold with one shepherd. Well, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. This is one of those passages that once again, the Jesus movie sometimes shows Jesus kicking and screaming while they're trying to drag him off to the cross. I don't think that was the case. I think when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Roman soldiers came, he demonstrated that he had power. Remember when he said, I am he, and all the Roman soldiers fell over on their backs? In the Bible, when God knocks people over, they're always unsaved, unchristian, unbelieving people. And I have no question that God can knock someone on their rear end. Some of you, he did that just to get your attention, knocked you on your rear end when you were an unsaved person, and he got your attention because he loved you. Same thing as here, you know, Jesus says, I am he. I wonder if it was like dominoes, clink, 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 you know, the Roman soldiers going down, turtles, you know, laying on the ground, trying to get up with all their armor and all that. I don't know. But then they, you know, you picture in the movie, you know, Jesus being drug off, you know, fighting a little bit. No, he didn't fight. He willingly went to the cross. Don't forget that. He laid it down of himself. He has the power to take it up again. We saw that in the resurrection. Well, all that said, verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. The Jews didn't know what to make of all the stuff he's saying. You say, I can't believe Jesus causes division. Well, Jesus said, I am the door. What do doors do? They divide. A door divides. You're either inside the door or outside the door. And so it's no wonder that there's people that are gonna stay on the outside. The question is, what are you gonna do? Well, verse 20, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It's a good question, if you ask me. There's some people thinking here, but they're struggling. And by the way, the epitome of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is calling Jesus having a devil. I hope you understand that. That's kind of doctrinally something you should know. Whenever you get to that point, he hath a devil, you're committing the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit at that point. Verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. So, you know, now we're during that Hanukkah festival of lights in Jerusalem during the winter time. And Jesus, by the way, was celebrating Hanukkah. That's kind of an interesting thing. That's why he's there doing that. This is one of Jesus's last real public appearances. After this, he's gonna have to be more covert because they're so out to get him by this time. Verse 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Question, has Jesus already told them all plainly that he is the Christ? Yes. One thing you'll know when you're talking to some people, you can speak plainly and tell them, but they just don't want to hear the truth. So they're going to keep acting like they don't understand or don't want to accept it because they just disagree or they choose to reject what you're saying. And that's exactly what they're doing here with Jesus. This is an old tactic. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. In other words, you don't believe that because you're not one of my sheep. You don't hear my voice. You don't recognize what I'm saying because you're not one of my sheep. It's just that simple. My sheep, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Would you mark this verse? Because this is a good test for yourself. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? You might say, well, I don't hear an audible voice. Well, that's okay. But do you hear the voice of the Lord? If you read the Bible and you say, man, this is God's word. I believe this is the word of God. So we're hearing his voice through the word. Check. Notice also, he knows his sheep. Does Jesus know you personally? You know, a lot of people say, I know Jesus and I made him my personal savior. I know Jesus Christ. But maybe a more important question is, does Jesus know you? So being known is part of the deal. Do you know Jesus and does Jesus know you? And then also, do you follow Jesus? Hopefully, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's what you're gonna do. Follow him.
Pastor Brett Minter, drawing more important encouragement from John chapter 10 for knowing and following the voice of the Lord on today's word. And don't go anywhere as Pastor Brett will be back with me here in a moment. But first, our teacher, Brett Metter, is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just outside of Portland, Oregon. Each day, Pastor Brett will bring you a verse-by-verse study of God's Word. If you've missed any portion of our time today, you'll find all of his messages online at todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. All right, Pastor Brett is joining me now. Brett, I know that one of the reasons you've decided to do this radio program called Today's Word is to follow Jesus' command from the Gospel of Mark to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah.
And one of the ways you're doing that is with your first evangelistic crusade. It's coming up next month on August 2nd and 3rd at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon. That's where the Portland Trailblazers play. Can you share what people should expect and why you're doing this crusade?
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. I love that question, and it's one that we have been praying through for a long time. You know, the Lord's put on our heart to reach as many people with two primary things. Number one, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then second, teaching verse by verse through his holy word, you know, and especially that first one, just the evangelism, reaching the unsaved. And so, you know, that we've been praying about this for a long time, and we realize we're just going to do really like an old school Billy Graham crusade, you know, and it's going to be there in the Moda Center. It's going to be inviting as many unsaved people as we can to hear the gospel. That's the main emphasis, is we're going to just bring the gospel. I'm going to be preaching two nights there in a row, and it'll be really fun. You know, we've got Kane and Chris Tomlin, Zach Williams, Taya, and some other artists that are going to come, and it's just going to be a real celebration. But I also think the goal is just to introduce people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and really in the same sort of spirit of what Billy Graham did with all of his crusades.
Yeah, and it is going to be an exciting weekend. For more information about this PDX crusade, again at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon, August 2nd and 3rd of this year, just go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link PDX Crusade. Again, todayswordradio.com and click the link PDX Crusade. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Next time, Pastor Brett Metter continues in John chapter 10.
The eternal security doctrine, we're Christ's sheep. It's the duty of the shepherd to care for the sheep. And is he a good shepherd? Yes, so that's secure right there. We got the best shepherd ever in the history of the cosmos. If you're one of the Lord's sheep, you always will be his sheep. Eternal life is the gift that God doesn't take back.
Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in Westland, Oregon.